reminds us that we have the Spirit of God in our hearts. Do you understand the implications of that? Do you understand the power that comes along with that?
As we approach the start of a new year, many will be making resolutions and promises they hope to keep in the coming days. Even though it often helps us to look ahead to a better future, in today's teaching, Dr. Tony Hart reminds us that God's appointed time is now.
It's good to see you here, and I trust that God has a word for us today. And so I'm going to ask if you would. We don't have slides today. Unfortunately, the file that was forwarded got corrupted. So you're going to have to listen to me and make sure that you take some notes and write them down. But Galatians chapter 4, I believe, is a passage. It's not normally considered a New Year's type of passage. But I think that God has a message for us today as we go from 2017 into 2018, and so I trust that you will follow along with me through Galatians chapter 4. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we consider this portion of Scripture. And again, Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, that you are present, and we ask that by your Spirit that you would cause this text to come alive, give us wisdom and the application of it to our own individual lives. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be a children's church. Is that a no? Okay, good. Good. Galatians chapter 4. You know, with every New Year's Day comes a greater awareness that time is passing. The fact of the matter is that each year that goes by brings us closer to the end of our time here on earth. To break it down even more, every Sunday that we meet together marks one less week that we have in front of us and one more that's behind us. It's time that we'll never get back. Consider it further that every night when you lay your head down to sleep is one less day that you have to do what God has called you to do. And so the lesson that we need to learn from this text that's emphasized here in these first few verses of Galatians chapter 4 is simply that God's appointed time is now. Tell somebody, God's time is now. In verses 1 and 2, if you take a notice of those, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." When you're a child, you dream of the day that you're going to be free. Is there a witness in the house? Part of our problem with Paul's talk here of comparing a child in the house with slavery is because when Paul talks about slavery in the New Testament, our minds go and tie it in with the cruelty of American slavery that's in our experience. And sometimes many of the slaves that are talked about in the New Testament, we need to see them as distinct. I think it's very interesting that Paul compares childhood under a parent to the slavery that was going on in the Roman Empire. Many of the slaves in the Roman Empire put themselves into slavery to pay financial debts. Some would even offer their children to be slave servants to satisfy a debt that was owed. Unlike America, it wasn't based on racial hatred or seeing the other person as less human. The dehumanization of slaves in America is what justified the injustice that took place in slavery here in the U.S. But in the same way that a slave would dream of his or her freedom, even in the Roman Empire, the fact of the matter is every child also dreams of the day that they'll be free from the restriction of parents. And you know, when I was coming up, I couldn't wait to get out. We got some kids here now that are coming back from college. And one of the tough transitions is when you come back from school and you've had a little taste of a little bit of freedom to fit back in under the restrictions of mom and dad. It's a tough chore. If you want an up-to-date lesson on that, just talk to one of these kids that are coming back. The fact of the matter is, though, that children dream of that time. There is an appointed time when they'll be able to move out and be on their own. I don't think that I appreciated the benefits of what was going on in my parents' house, the benefits of living under that coverage until I was out there on my own. Paul is saying here that in the same way that a child or a slave wants to be free, when we are born into the family of God as children of God, the time for freedom, God's appointed time for freedom, is right now. You know, it's interesting, when you have a baby that's born into your family, it might take 18 or 20 years of maturing that child until they're able to taste of their own freedom. But what the Bible is telling us is that as soon as you're born into the family of God, you are free. The chains are dropped. That you are able to experience the freedom that God has for us. What he's saying is that now is the time to step out and accomplish God's plan for your life. That now is the time to maximize your gifts for the building of the kingdom of God. That now is the appointed time to get engaged in ministry and to allow God to work through us. Tell somebody, now is the time. And I think that's what Paul wants us to understand here, that the time is now. And as we step into a new year, let's not wait until that year is halfway through to begin to do what God has called us to do. Every day that you lay your head down to sleep, you have to recognize that there is time slipping away. And you're either going to get done what God has for you to do, or you're going to let your life just slip on by and waste it away. Look at verse 2 again. Verse 2 says, but that we're under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. You see, God, like a good father, he knows what time it is. God, like a good father, he knows what the appointed time is. Sometimes we get the feeling that we're walking through life and things are just happening. You know, stuff just happens to us. But the fact of the matter is that your steps are ordered by God, that God is sovereign and he knows what is in front of us. And so there is a time for everything. There is an appointed time, and God knows what time it is. When you turn 5, it's the appointed time to go to school. By the time you're 18, it's the appointed time to graduate. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that everything has a season. There's a time for every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And so the question is, do you know what time it is? in your life, with the plan that God has for you, there is an appointed time. And I want you to understand that the appointed time is now. If you aren't sure what's appointed for you at this time, then ask God, because he knows what time it is, and he knows the appointed time for each one of us. And the thing to remember is that there are multiple facets to what God has appointed for us to do. You remember I talked about the priority wheel and God being in the center. And the fact of the matter is that there is an appointed time and a responsibility that you have toward your family. And there is an appointed time and a responsibility that you have toward your ministry. And there's appointed time and a responsibility that you have toward your own health. There's an appointed time and a responsibility that you have in your life. There is this multifaceted array of responsibilities that God has given to us, and God is in the center of it all. And if you don't know what time it is and what you should be doing today, ask God, and he'll give you wisdom. The fact of the matter is that too many of us, we get our priority wheel all messed up, and we neglect our ministry for our own family, or we neglect our family for our ministry, and we neglect the gifts that God has given to us because we're busy doing something else in our wheel. When God wants us to have a balanced wheel, he wants us to make sure that we take care of everything that he gives us. And I love that promise that he won't give us more than we can handle. He won't give us more than we can handle. And so if God has given you gifts, if God has given you abilities, guess what? The appointed time to develop those gifts and start using those gifts, tell somebody the time is now. Not January 1 when we step into the new year. Not at the end of June when we're halfway through the year. Not at age 85 when you're just trying to hang on. Amen. The time is now. And I believe that there are many of us who have wonderful gifts that God has given to us, and we have neglected those gifts because our priorities are skewed in one area of our wheel. God wants to give us wisdom as to how we can do all that God has given for us to do. And so as we step into the new year, whatever is appointed for you to do, consider that the time is now. Look at verse 4. He says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." When the appointed time came, God took action. And God gives us a good example here of taking action at the right time. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't procrastinate in heaven while we were standing in need down here? I mean, he could still be up there twiddling his thumbs, watching TV, kicking his feet up in his bed. He must have a nice bed up there in glory. He could still be procrastinating while we're down here in need. He gives us the example of at the appointed time, he took action. I like that. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he took action. And you know what? There are people in need around us today. There are people in need in our communities. There are people in need in our families. There are people in need all around us. And not you all, I'm sure, but too many are procrastinating and pushing back what God has called them to do. Amen. Don't say amen. Is it true? And all I want to say is that the time is now. And if it's not now, when? And if it's not you, who? That sounds like came from somewhere. That's all I'm trying to say. And I think that's what Paul wants to drive home to us. You know, Jesus becomes this good example for us to follow. When the time comes to roll up our sleeves and to get to work for the kingdom of God, let's follow God's example and get busy. You know, in football, sometimes I have to relate it to sports so everybody can track with me. But in football, if you jump early before the whistle, before the time and the ball is hiked, you jump too early, the whistles blow, the flags are thrown, it's a foul, they stop the whole play, everything stops, you lose yardage. And by the same token, if you wait and jump too late, you're going to get run over and the play is not going to work. You see, in football, there is an appointed time to take action. You can't be too early and you can't be too late. And I believe in the kingdom of God, there is an appointed time when it's time to take action. When is the time? The time is now. At the end of 2017, I think that all of us need to search God and ask for wisdom. Say, Lord, the time is now. What would you have me to do? And I think as we move into the new year, that we'll be much more efficient as a church and much more effective in our ministry if everybody is moving when the ball is snapped. Often, though, the right action at the appointed time requires faith and sacrifice. And that was certainly true for Jesus. What he did for us required faith and sacrifice. It required faith, first of all, that God was able to bring him back up from the grave. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, you know, put me down, but you know, you're going to get me back up. It required faith for him to exercise and to go through that whole plan. And for us today, it also requires faith and sacrifice for us to move forward and to move with God at the appointed time. Let me share a story with you that I read. It was a minister who was going through a difficult time in his family because his teenage daughter had gotten pregnant. And he called another minister friend of his, and they hadn't been hunting for a long time. He was a guy who liked to go in the outdoors and hunt. And so the two of them went out, and they were out, you know, by a lake and fishing one day and, you know, out hunting, spending the weekend or whatever. And as they were sitting by the fire and talking one evening, this minister began to confide in his friend. And he said, you know, just going through a rough time because my daughter got pregnant, and I've been preaching all these years about, you know, morality and the Latin, and he's been very involved in anti-abortion and pro-life and all that. And he confided, he said, you know, that I didn't know what to do. And I was weighing all the options. And he decided that abortion was the only option. So his friend, you know, who had an experienced minister, he had heard stories like that, and he recognized that rather than condemning the girl's promiscuity, that what he needed to do was provide some hope and assurance to these parents that they could work their way through that. And so he began to share that there's hope for the girl and hope for the baby and hope, you know, that the Lord is able. And he saw that his friend's eyes just dropped. And as he's trying to interject hope into the situation, he said, you know, he just stopped his friend. He says, no, it's too late. It's already done. I took her down. She had an abortion. The problem that he had was that he knew, he taught, he preached, he understood, but there was a lack of faith when the time came for him to make the right decision. And I think that that's exactly what happens with a lot of us, that we know in our heads what is right and what's wrong, But when the crunch time comes, when the appointed time comes to take action, to do the right thing, we lack faith and we lack the willingness to sacrifice. Now, maybe your situation might not be like his situation, but all of us face issues in our lives when we have to make decisions, when we have to make choices. And too often what ends up happening is we make decisions that come out of a lack of faith and a lack of willingness to sacrifice and do the right thing. And it may be as simple as choosing bed over church attendance. Nobody's there. It may be choosing TV and comfort over ministry. It may be vacation over tithing. Uh-oh, let me not step on anybody's foot. But there's so many times when choices, we come to that point where we got to make a choice. Am I going to walk with God? Am I going to do what he called me to do? Or am I going to follow my own comfort and pleasure and what I feel like doing? Am I going to lean on my own understanding or do what God has told me to do? And so many times we are unwilling because of our lack of faith to do what God is calling us to do. Somebody needs to say amen. God is able by his blood to wash all that stuff away. That we have the opportunity as we walk into a new year for a fresh, brand new start. That 2018 doesn't have to be like 2017. That with a brand new start, we can resolve that, you know what? The time is now for me to get my act together and begin to walk in faith, begin to walk with a willingness to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. At the appointed time, Jesus laid down his life. And the time is now for us to lay down our lives and present ourselves as living sacrifices. It's the sacrifice that we make and the faith that we exhibit at those appointed times which end up defining our lives. Now, it's easy for you to take a message like this and say, well, you know, yeah, that sounds good. I'm out of here. When's the party tonight? But I trust that it'll stick with you and that you will, not like some New Year's resolutions that end up, you know, being broken by the end of January, but that we'll recognize that the time is now for us to change things. And the key in verse 6 to engaging God's will for your life begins with knowing who you are. I'm going to close with this. Verse 6, look at it. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, of the spirit of his son, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. One of the lessons that we learn early is that our self-identity is critical for how we act and react in life. If we see ourselves as weak and our situation as hopeless, then we'll be inclined to act in a faithless way. I think that's what happened to that minister. He couldn't imagine that there was any other way out of this. If we see ourselves, however, as God sees us and we understand who we belong to, if we trust in the power of God, then you're able to conquer any situation. And you'll be willing to sacrifice for yourself for the outcome that you are promised. Paul reminds us here that we are sons of the living God. Somebody needs to say amen. Paul reminds us that we have the Spirit of God in our hearts. Do you understand the implications of that? Do you understand the power that comes along with that? Too often, because we hear it all the time, it just flies over our head and we miss the impact that it can have on our lives. What Paul is describing here is a personal relationship with the creator of the universe where we can come to him and call him daddy. Not in some disrespectful way, but in an intimate, personal way with the creator of the universe. Knowing that you're in the family of God, and that gives you self-esteem. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about me. I know what God says about me. Amen. And so we're able to move in a different way. When you know whose you are, you walk with a different strut. Not a stroll, but a strut. I don't know if there's a difference. Where you talk with a different talk. You use different language. You express yourself differently. You react to things with a different reaction when you know whose you are. You engage in the kingdom work with a different energy and fervor when you understand whose you are. You see, if I'm just an employee in a business, I just do my job just to collect the paycheck. If my daddy owns the business, I work with a little different fervor because I'm in the family. I'm committed to the success of that business with a little different energy. We are the children of God. This is a family business. The kingdom of God is our business. And we need to engage with a different kind of energy, a different kind of fervor in the family business. Some of us are worse than employees because we don't even show up. Oh, nobody, not you all. But I'm just saying that we need to recognize that the time is now. The appointed time is now to make sure, first of all, that we're in the family of God, that you are a child of God, and then to begin to act with faith. The time is now to act with self-sacrifice and begin putting others before ourselves. The time is now to begin putting the kingdom of God ahead of our own little kingdoms. All I'm saying is that as we step into the new year, let's agree that the time is now.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.